This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, and what a time to have the Aston Villa Fan Show. They've just played Monday Night Football. They've just won, beating Newcastle United 2-0, two goals, clean sheet, more importantly, 3 points. Getting that win because Aston Villa finally ended a run of three successive Premier League defeats, beating Newcastle United to ruin Steve Bruce's return to Villa Park. A very happy Villa show we are going to have in the next 30 minutes as they take over Love Sport Radio HQ. Delighted to say I'm now joined by Dom Phillips from At Heart of the Hull. Dom, it's a real pleasure to get you on the fan show tonight. First time speaking to you. And what a pleasure we get to start this on a note like this, because I'm assuming you're a very happy man with that dominating performance and beating Newcastle tonight.
Well, yeah, it would have been a very awkward fan show if we just got beat or bottled it in the last minute like we have done in recent weeks. But, you know, so over the moon with the win, to be honest. I thought we deserved it throughout the game, to be honest, with a better side, especially in the first half. But it could have been about 15-0, the amount of chances that we missed. And I don't like it when people pick out Wesley, but I'm going to pick out him for this one chance, a low cross straight to his feet, and he just puts it straight at the keeper. I can't understand it. Conte had a free header as well. 2-0, it could have been so many more, but so happy and relieved we got the win and we did play well.
Yeah, not only getting the goals, getting the winner, you did play well. 62% possession, you know, 17 shots, 8 shots on target. And these games are always big. And I know you know Ryan. Speaking to Ryan last week, he said, look, we need this game. We've got a really tough set of fixtures coming up. We need A, because of those fixtures, but because we were on this mini slump. Tonight, the performance, It didn't seem like that mini slump, did it, Dom? You know, it seemed like really dominating. And let's not, like, people might say, oh, it was Newcastle, they're not having a great season. Could be true, but in their last few games, back-to-back wins, they're going very well as well.
Exactly. The point is, you can only beat what's in front of you for a start. And on the topic of the slump, the international break came at the perfect time for us. We had a chance to reset. We looked a bit tired. We looked a bit jaded. We had the chance to reset, get back to the training ground, work on some things, tidy up, sharpen up. And we've come into this game and we've looked really good. We've played some really nice football, created some really good chances, and should have done better for it, really. But just really relieving, isn't it? Because such an important home game, coming up into that tough run of fixtures, as Ryan mentioned last week, we've just got to get a result tonight, and we did do it, even without Bjorn Engels, which was quite worrying. Conte did well overall. It just really, really is a weight off the shoulders for Villa fans tonight and for the rest of this week, to be honest.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, people can look at the next three games, can't they, Dom? They see Man United, they see Chelsea, both are away, and they see Leicester the next game, but it's even Sheffield United, the game beyond that, and it's not just good to end that mini slump, as you spoke about it there, and get the 3 points, but it's great to take those 3 points into that next run of games, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy round of games, to be honest, though. I do think we could beat United. I have a feeling that we have a chance to upset them. They're prone for an upset. Palace have done it. They're not in great shape. They're not in great form. So I don't think United's game is going to be as bad as everyone says it's going to be, especially considering Pogba's injury, provided he's been injured for our game. But, you know, Chelsea, very tough game. Leicester, very tough game. Sheffield United are flying right now. I wouldn't want to face them. So, yeah, we've got some difficult fixtures coming up, and it's definitely a relief that we've just managed to get the win tonight.
Yeah, and obviously, not to put a downer on it, it's a brilliant result tonight, Dom, but not as if, you know, Villa are definitely in that relegation place, but you need to win anyway to win your games in the Premier League, get the points. But when teams around you have been doing well, you know, Norwich picking up a massive win at Goodison on the weekend, They're just below you. You want to keep that gap, because now it is 4 points to that relegation place, and you've kind of nullified Norwich's result on the weekend, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, and the problem is, as you say, we've got this tough fixture list coming up, so that gap is probably going to narrow. Wouldn't surprise me if during the next few weeks you fall into the relegation zone. And what I'd urge there is for fans not to hit the panic button and say, oh my God, we're in the relegation zone, oh my God, we're going down, oh my God. No, we've got tough fixtures coming up. We're going to drop down the table a bit, possibly, and that's fine. That's to be expected because we're not going to get many points over the next few weeks. Perhaps the win against United. I can't see us getting anything against Chelsea, Leicester or Sheffield, though. So we're just going to have to accept it. We've got a good win tonight, but now we've just got to try and make the best, maybe scrape some draws, scrape some points where we can for the next few games.
Mm. Dom, is it fair to say that Villa are in a relegation battle? Are they, do you see this, you know, it's going to be the ebb and flow of the Premier League. It is our first season back. We are fighting for our lives with the teams in and around us. I know it's only 13 games in, but are they in this relegation fight? Not, you know, they're one of the teams that are down there, but they are the teams that could be looking for other teams that want to sucker them in.
I think almost every team that comes up from the Championship is automatically at a relegation battle because you're stepping up a massive level. You've got a summer to improve your squad massively, improve your facilities, improve the way you do things, get everyone that's already there up to a Premier League standard and get everyone on the same page ready for the new season and do all the new media stuff, everything. There's a load of added pressures and everything with the Premier League. So I think almost any promoted side from the Championship is automatically a relegation battle unless you're Wolves and you've got excessive quality or you're Sheffield United and you've got momentum and you've got togetherness and you've got an amazing system. You know, most teams that come up from the Championship are automatically in a relegation battle, and I don't think we're, you know, different from that. I do think we're in a relegation battle because I don't think our strike force is good enough. We need a winger, we need a striker. I think that our fullbacks are defensively suspect. I think that Douglas Luiz can switch off after about 60, 70 minutes and that leaves us suspect at the back. We're also prone to bottling in at the end of the games. There are a few weaknesses that I've listed there, and those make us, you know, possible for relegation. But I see Watford, I see Southampton, I see Norwich, I see Newcastle, and I think those are all four teams that are worse than us. Mm. So I think we should be fine in theory.
Yeah, what's crazy, Dom, I know it is only 13 games into the Premier League season. We're still in its infancy. It's still early. You know, we're only
further away through the season now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It's crazy how quick it goes, but you know, you look at that league table, and we know it can change with one win or a loss, and you fly up there, you go down. But we're talking about Villa maybe getting suckered into that relegation zone, keen to get the win, you know, when teams around them are winning. But you looked at the team that everyone's raving about, Sheffield United, as you mentioned it, or even Wolves, who are up in fifth. They've won four games this season. The same as Aston Villa, who are currently in 15th. It's that crazy. You've won the same amount of games this season. The same amount of games as Arsenal, Man United and Tottenham. Three teams who are supposedly batting it out for those Champions League places.
It's just unreal, isn't it? It's just the way that we've just capitulated. Like against Arsenal, we were 2-1 up away and we lost 3-2. Liverpool, 1-0, we lost 2-1. Spurs, 1-0, we lost 3-1. We've let wins turn into losses so quickly, and we've had no way. What Sheffield United will do is they'll turn a loss into a draw like they did at the weekend. We can't turn a loss into a draw. We can only turn wins into losses, and it's a really bad negative characteristic of us at the moment, but I'm sure that we'll bounce through it and improve as the season goes on, to be honest, because we've got so many new signings and they're still gelling. We're always going to be improving. Every game that goes by, we're going to improve.
Yeah, and because this is our first time speaking, Dom, you are looking to improve. But what have you made of Villa season on the whole so far? Me and Ryan, we pick it apart each week. What have you made of it? Because you said we are already a third of the way in. It's that 13-game point. Yeah. You know, we knew it was going to be a tough season. You said it is tough for any promoted side. But are you kind of pleased where you are? You know, this is, are you ahead of that curve, or you thought this is roughly where I expected us to be?
As a natural pessimist, I was always worried that we're going to start off quite badly. Yeah. But I'm sort of pleasantly surprised. I think there's at times where I think that's not good enough. And there are times where I'm outraged. Like, for example, I'm going to bring up today, why did we wait until stoppage time to do a substitution? Why didn't we wait until bringing on Marvellous Nakamba just to, you know, close up the game? I don't think our game management, especially if the game's gone on, been great. The season's gone by, but overall I've been pleased with the season. I think we've got a lot of promising signs to show forward, and we've got a lot of talented players. Clearly the players are taking well to each other. We're adapting well to the Premier League. Jack Grealish is doing Jack Grealish things, so it's alright, but I don't think we got enough in the summer. In January we definitely need a new striker and winger, and that'll make us even better in the second half of the season.
Yeah, completely. If we can have one high point and one low point then for you, Dom, what has that been in the season? And maybe one thing that you were surprised about that you wasn't expecting, good or bad?
Right, I'm going to have to think about this. The low point is instantly the Liverpool game. That one I'm going to have to think about. That I was watching that, and that was just like watching your heart fall through your fingers. It was horrible as a football fan to watch. I don't know who you support, but if you were watching that as a Villa fan, I don't know. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
The high point, Everton 2-0, because to me that was the moment where you think, we're not going to do a 2015-16. We're not going to capitulate. We have the ability to win. That was an amazing game. Wesley scored, which was nice. Elgazi's last-minute winner, the atmosphere. So I'm going to say the high point, Everton. Most surprising moment? That is a really good question, to be honest. 5-1 against Norwich. I wasn't expecting that. I thought we'd win, but I didn't think we'd win 5-1.
Yeah, that's always any high point. I think that could have matched your high point. A great surprise. Obviously, a big surprise. Not a surprise, but a welcome return. Obviously, Jack Grealish, you mentioned it there. Just shows you at the heart of this team. He really makes you tick over. Obviously, is United on the weekend. What's your score prediction, Dom?
Oh, right, you know what? I'm going to be confident. I'm going to say 3-1 Villa.
I love it.
The thing is, I'm not usually an optimist as well. The more you'll have me on, the more...
It's this show. It's this show. It does it to you.
Exactly. Savour this while you can. This is me being positive about the Villa. This isn't an often thing. You're lucky, Charlie. You're lucky.
Mate, I'm very lucky. I'm lucky to have you on and chat to us, Dom. It goes too quick, but I'm going to make sure. Look, Ryan's not going to be happy because I'm going to tell him we need to give 15 to you every week, Dom. A real pleasure to have you on. Thanks for filling in and telling us.
Come on.
Yeah, no, mate, and telling us how it went down tonight. We'll have to get you on later in the season and we can see. Maybe if it is 3-1, I might be speaking to you next Monday. But Dom, really good pleasure to have you on. Dom Phillips there from the heart of the Holt at Aston Villa. Really good to have him on. But next, our regular man is up and it is Ryan Pitcher.
We've all got one and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. We were just joined, and the first time we were joined, and this, we want to be joined as many people as possible. Why? This is the Aston Villa Fan Show. It's about you, your team, your voice. You take this radio station over, Love Sport Radio HQ. We heard from Dom Phillips at the heart of the Holt. Now, though, we go back to the regular man, Juan Pablo Pitcher. I'm still on about that. Delighted to say Ryan Pitcher joins us now from under a gaslit lamp. Ryan, you were at the game. Give us the latest lowdown and let me tell Villa fans how exciting this next 15 minutes is, because not only were you at the game, we can get the live reaction. I believe you're travelling back from the game with a Newcastle fan. How has that worked out?
Yeah, I'm travelling with a Newcastle fan. He's driving, so I haven't been able to get it on loudspeaker because we've had to park in an unusual spot, so he's got the maps up and whatnot. So might just be me on the plow, unfortunately.
Convenient, maybe, because his team went down 2-0 that he don't want to make an appearance. Is that so?
I mean, I think he's full of expletives, so that's probably the reason why he didn't want to come on.
Yeah. Safe. I think let's stay in a safe zone here. We don't need that. But Ryan, obviously a brilliant performance tonight, dominating from Aston Villa. A welcome return, Mr. Jack Grealish.
Yeah, I thought no particular player stood out, so to speak, but I thought he played really well. And like I always say, is he makes other players tick. I thought we did well tonight. I don't think the performance was super good. I just think Newcastle were extremely poor, and you know, it just kind of reminded me of the old Steve Bruce days at Villa, where we relied on a bit of individual brilliance, and they were really poor tonight at Newcastle, and I still predict that they'll struggle this season, to be honest.
Yeah, let's talk about Steve Bruce then, because obviously he was returning to Villa Park. How was that? What was the atmosphere like? We were hearing of potential cabbage protests, feelings were going to be made. What was it like in the stadium?
Yeah, no, he didn't get any stick, to be honest. I think there was a little moment towards the latter end of the game where we asked for Dean Smith to give us a wave, and then followed by Bruce to give us a wave, and obviously he didn't, so he got a bit of...
Oh, come on, Steve,
he's
played the game.
But yeah, obviously he wasn't going to flash us a wave. But no, there was no animosity there or anything like that. I think, you know, we're over it, he should be over it, and I don't think there's any too much animosity there. I just think, as I say, it just reminded me under bleak kind of Steve Bruce football, and the way they set up, you know, they set up as a 5-4-1. I see what they tried to do in the second half. In the second half, although they didn't really change their shape, you could see that they pressed us a lot higher. That was the most noticeable thing. And for a few minutes, it actually worked. It made us feel a bit uncomfortable, and we lost the ball on a few occasions. But it meant that because they were trying to follow the ball and try and almost kind of predict where our next pass was going to go so they could close down the space, it meant there was space centrally. And so we kind of exploited the central areas a bit more in the second half. But, it was a solid performance. Could have been 3 or 4, very comfortable.
Yeah, that was it. You always want, you know, I know you're giving maybe Villa a little less credit. You're saying Newcastle were that bad, but you know, as Dom said, you can only beat what's in front of you. It could have been more comfortable. Maybe the perfect tonic then for Villa, considering they were on this mini slump, 3 games without getting that victory. They get that now. One thing that Dom did question, I wanted to see if you noticed this at the game, was maybe a little bit of the game management by Villa and Dean Smith. He was questioning the use of those late subs.
I don't want to obviously say that Dom's wrong or anything like that. Perhaps we could have changed things earlier on. I don't think it was essential. I thought, you know, that there weren't anything special. I don't think we were forced to change anything. It's not like they particularly changed anything until Carroll came on, when they went 2 up top and obviously Dwight Gale came on. Other than that, they didn't really change their system. They just played a lot higher up the park in the second half. So I think once we got our heads around it, in terms of what they were trying to do in terms of the high press and hurry us a little bit, is after that 5-minute spell early on in the second half, I think as soon as we got our head around that, we were fine. I don't think necessarily any changes would have made a difference to the game. In the second half, it was... I thought the whole game was pretty drab, to be fair. I don't mean that... Yeah, listen, I'm delighted with the 3 points, and I don't want to talk it down, but I thought, you know, they set up with a 5-4-1. We're going to struggle to get through them, and funny enough, it ended up being 2 set pieces that undid them, and the rest of the game was really comfortable.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because the goals came from set pieces. Always nice when, you know, you're getting balls in dangerous... situations like that in dead ball periods. Nice to be putting those away, but not creating goals from open chances, but goals in quick succession, you know, really nice for Villa there, you know, to not to get the one and then let Newcastle have a chance to get back in here. Getting that second, vitally important, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I genuinely thought once we got the second, particularly, as you say, in quick succession, I thought that it could have been a procession. I thought, you know, we could have hit him for 4 or 5, maybe 6 today. But, I even said to Alex, my Newcastle supporting friend, I even said over the dead ball, the first one, I thought, I said, he's left Connor far too much room to exploit here on his on what would have been Connor's left side, but the keeper's right side. He left a lot of space there, and he just tucked it away. He left himself too much to do the goalkeeper. I don't know why he was set so far across left to his goal. And then, yeah, the second one, El Ghazi, I mean, I couldn't really see. I tried to look at the replay. It looked like Joelinton wasn't really picking up his man, and he was kind of stationary. He just got flat-heeled, really. And, good finish. I mean, he couldn't miss from there, really. But, yeah, I was expecting us to maybe kick on a little bit more. I think in the second half, it was all about game management. And I thought we managed it really, really well.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting because why I mention that, I mean, the last 4 Premier League goals for Villa have come from set pieces. Listen, any goal's good, but is there a worry that, you know, we're not getting them from the open play, the chances that we are creating, the possession that we are having?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a real... considerable concern from us. Obviously, I'd like to see more goals from open play. I'm still not convinced by Big Wes up top. I mean, again today, he spends far too much time with his arms flapping around and protesting against decisions and stuff. And it's just like, come on, mate, you need to crack on. You need to get on with it. He had one chance today in the second half, which he should have put away. You can see he was frustrated that he didn't. One where we kind of dived in at the front post, similar to the one what he scored at Arsenal, really. He just looks puts a frustrated figure up top, and we're not creating too much. And there were a few chances late on in that game where we should have scored from open play, you know, absolutely. But, I like I've said on the show so many times, I think when we get to January, we're still interested in a few creative players, and I think that's really going to help us. We need something, and Wesley needs a bit of competition.
Yeah, he does need a competition. Obviously, he had a great chance to score tonight, didn't. But let's talk about how good Connor was and El Ghazi getting on the score sheet as well. How vitally important was it for those two?
Yeah, I mean, Connor's one of these players who, even last season, he was getting a bit of grief from supporters. You know, he shows flashes of brilliance. He's a Mr. Dependable, you know. You're talking about a player that we picked up from Barnsley for, like, you know, £2.5-3 million or whatever it was. And you can't argue with the value that we've got in him. We've seen it for Ireland, obviously. His set pieces can be something special. So, yeah, I was pleased for him. And El Ghazi, he's a solid player. I still think he's a little bit lacking in terms of from a top-class Premier League player, certainly a solid Championship player. But, yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more from him in open play. Obviously, you know, I don't think he could miss that goal tonight, but I'm pleased for him. He seems like a genuinely nice guy as well. And, yeah, no, I'm genuinely happy for him.
Yeah, and Dean Smith, obviously, speaking after the game, he said, look, our form's been good. We knew it was going to be hard. We've been competitive. But what it's taken so far in the Premier League, it takes time to gel defensively. But I think we're starting to achieve that. We saw it tonight against Newcastle for the first time. It's resulted in us getting a clean sheet. Are you starting to see the benefits of that? You know, week on week, this team are starting to have a little bit more of a sand foundation at the back, Ryan.
I think tonight's a difficult measure of how solid defensively we were, because they didn't really test us at all at the back. I've got to be honest with you. Defensively, it's a strange one. As I say, I don't think it's necessarily the defence. I just think it's what's in front of them. I just think we're a little bit undisciplined, particularly in the middle of the park. That's where our defensive vulnerabilities come from, where teams exploit the space just in front of the back. And that's still a concern. We even saw it tonight a little bit, where nothing major. Better teams would have exposed us quite a lot more. But there was times where they got a little bit of pocket in behind, and they could have caused us problems if they weren't so bad and they had a bit of quality about them. But that's my main concern, as I say. It's about being disciplined in the middle of the park, and rather than the players that are actually playing in defence. I think we're solid defensively individually, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Dean Smith, he's someone that doesn't shy away from the big decisions. You know, he left out Connor before. I think that was against Man City. But brought him back in tonight. He scored tonight. It's always easy to say when they do score. But this is what he shows. You know, you work hard for the team. The tactics we're trying to implement. He's back in the side now with a performance like that. Man of the match performance, let me say. He's going to get an extended run in the side.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I mean, central midfield-wise, I think we're really strong in terms of we've got so many options in there. You know, obviously, you know, Connor, Nakamba, McGinn, Douglas Louis, Jack can play almost like a roaming-type player centrally as well. So we've got a lot of options. You've got Lansbury as well there. You know, you've got several options in the middle of the park. And so, yeah, we've got good depth. And so, yeah, he just needs to grasp this chance, because there's no doubt, based off tonight's performance, he should be starting on Sunday away at United. So, yeah, hopefully he takes his chance and does well.
Yeah, obviously, before we look at that United game, it is a bit of a strange one because you're in the car with a Newcastle fan. What did he think of his team performance tonight? Were they that bad?
Hang on a minute. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll try and put you on loudspeaker.
This could be dangerous.
His little view of it. Hold on 2 seconds. Here we go. What was that question, sorry?
I just said, obviously, you're with a Newcastle fan on the Aston Villa fan show. You played each other tonight. Were Newcastle that bad? What was his perspective of the game?
Well, I actually think Newcastle were absolutely shocking. Getting into the final third, they seemed to run out of ideas. Had nowhere really to go. Huffled and puffled the way through the match. I was impressed. Didn't think they were there to play football whatsoever.
Almiron was poor.
He was very poor. Like I say, done well from collecting the ball, running up into the final third, and then realised he didn't know what to do with it when he got there.
Yeah, well, this is a problem for Newcastle. It feels one step forward, two steps back, you know. They've had that international break. They've been on good form. Why have they taken a step back? Why could Aston Villa tonight get back in their rhythm against you?
I thought Fuller played really well. I thought they moved the ball around really well through the midfield. And Newcastle were just trying to hit them on the break when they had... Well, they weren't even trying to hit them on the break because they had nobody up front they hit them on the break with. I thought Fella played a really good game tonight. And like Ryan said earlier on, it could have well easily been for the goalkeeper making two tremendous saves. It could have easily been 4 or 5, 6-0.
I think Joe Linton struggled tonight in terms of holding up the ball.
He can't hold the ball up. I don't know what he's doing up there. I don't think he knows what he's doing up there.
it's a big problem. And obviously Villa, you know, they've got rid of Steve Bruce. You now have Steve Bruce. Obviously Villa fans find it quite funny. They're glad to see the back of him, you know, doing brilliantly under Dean Smith. But what is your view of it?
Off our Steve Bruce?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I think he set up with a 5-4-1 against Aston Villa. Now, if that was Man City or Liverpool, I would totally understand that there. But against Villa, I think, you know, if they played with 4-4-2, I think we'd have given a better game. I'd rather we lost 1-2-0 playing attacking football rather than trying to play a 5-4-1 and try and hit them on the break when we had no one up front to even hit them on the break with. Because Julian just couldn't hold the ball up. Every touch he had kept falling to the wayside. He couldn't even hold the ball up and pass it back to one of his own players. He could kick him that way. And he just looked disinterested. I thought that's the words we're using.
Well, Charlie, we've actually got money on who finishes ahead of one another in the league this year. So that was useful for me tonight.
Well, Ryan, there is only one point in it now. That game brought you two a lot closer. Ryan, I hope you win that bet. But let's give you the last word. It is Man United on the weekend. Massive game. You know, Man United not going... They're not doing well at the minute. You know, no one can shy away from that fact. But they are at home. It is at Old Trafford. We get to cover it next Monday. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, we needed to win tonight just for, I'd say, a little bit of confidence. I still think it's going to be obviously a very different game. I think we'll be the side that are looking to counter on Sunday. You know, at the end of the day, I know Man United haven't been the old Man United that we used to seeing, but they're still a decent side. And our record at Old Trafford is absolutely appalling. Yeah, mind you, yeah, just as Alex just said, so it's Newcastle's and they beat them 1-0. But, you know, we'll see. You know, I hope we can take something from the game. And I know you're going to ask me for a prediction, so I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw on Sunday.
1-1. See, Ryan, you're already one step ahead of me, ahead of the curve as always. Thank you so much for still giving us time tonight and giving us the immediate reaction. Brilliant to have that. Ryan, always a pleasure to have you on. Ryan Pitcher there from Under a Gaslit Lemon. Thank you to Alex for joining in, Newcastle. Castle fan, all the reaction as we do it here on Love Sport Radio, even hearing from Dom Phillips from at the heart of the whole brilliant Aston Villa show. We will see you again next Monday at 10 o'clock.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.